You're listening to Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Only here, lastwordonsports.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the Last Word SC podcast, Last Word Soccer Club Radio, whatever it's called. I'm not used to doing this intro hosting thing. It's normally Matt Pollard, but I am your host for this week. I'm Daniel Sperry, filling in for Matt Pollard, who politely texted us in the message right before we were supposed to record and says, "Hey, guys, crap hit the fan. It's on you." So we have taken full creative liberties with this pod. It is now the Zlatan podcast. We've worked out a deal that way. So Zlatan,
I second that.
So Zlatan, welcome listeners to Zlatan Radio. I am your host Daniel Sperry, and joined from Michigan, which I'm assuming is starting to get cold because we're supposed to get snow tomorrow, is Robert Kerr. How are you doing today, Robert?
Oh man, busy, very busy, but great. And in here, Metro Detroit, getting chilly for sure. But this week's been one of those weeks where feast or famine in the soccer world, and we've definitely been feasting regionally, internationally, and locally. New gig that I'll talk about at the very end of the show. That Toronto game the other night was awesome, and then I haven't stopped smiling since Liverpool's win in the Champions League yesterday.
That was a good one. I hate both of those teams and would have rather it much been it, rather like neither of them played well and it'd just be like a terrible drag of a match. But it turned out to be pretty impressive, and it was kind of.
I didn't know you four-letter H-worded about Liverpool that way.
Oh yeah, I'm a Manchester United guy, so that's how it works. But joining us,
you
also,
and Matt, jeez Louise.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All the Mats.
Both Mats are Man U?
Both Mats.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mats.
Is it a 3-1 Liverpool Man U?
I'm enjoying it. I like this. I like trash on Liverpool a little bit.
Speaking of Matt number two, we are joined by Matt McCarthy, who I believe is in Philadelphia at the moment. Matt, am I correct on that? And how are you doing today?
Yes, it's correct at the moment. I'm in Philadelphia, and I'm doing pretty well. Today was the first home game for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm a big Phillies fan, growing up with it, with my father and all my other friends, going to games. So I went to that today, and I think that the Flyers are about to clinch a playoff spot. If not, they're pretty darn close to it. So Philadelphia sports is really doing well right now. I'm enjoying it.
Monday night was a lot of fun. Speaking of, I loved the Villanova Wildcats. I did not pick them in my bracket, but I really did love their performance. And I am a huge Dante DiVincenzo fan. That was a ballsy performance.
Before you keep going, actually, I have a story about Dante. I actually went to the same high school as Dante DiVincenzo.
Okay.
I was part of the So I actually managed the basketball team my sophomore year, which was his senior year, when we won the second consecutive basketball title. And, you know, knowing Dante, and I even said this to a couple of my friends before the game, I said, watching Dante for 2 years before he went to Villanova, I know that when the lights get bright and the game is big enough, he will go off. And no sooner did I say that to my friends, he came off the bench and dropped 11, like, right off the bat, ended with 18 in the first half, and ended up with 31 for the entire game.
Yeah.
So if you went to Sally's or you know Dante, that's something that didn't surprise us at all. So I'm very proud of him, and I'm very proud for Slazy Adam.
Yeah, it was when he was stepping up to those threes in the second half. It wasn't Steph Curry like heat check rhythm, but I still kind of got that. I got that like heat check feel. Like I was like every time we'd pick up the ball and like just cross the logo at midcourt, I was like, just put it up, dude. It's probably going in. Like that's how I felt every single time we took it up. It was a lot of fun, but even more fun than the national championship on Monday night was the madness. That was the first ever edition of El Tráfico, which is actually totally legit because in a press conference today, Peter Vermes called it El Tráfico. And that was pretty funny to me that he actually took it and ran with it that way. So it is official. Peter Vermes has said it. Everyone else has said it. It is officially El Tráfico. And it was absolutely lit at the StubHub Center. LAFC jumped out to a 3-0 win. Or 3-0 win. They thought they were going to win. They were up 3-0 just minutes into the first half, thanks to two gorgeous Carlos Vela goals and then an LA Galaxy own goal, and then the Galaxy started to get back into the game. Zlatan comes in when it's 3-1. I believe it wasn't Jack McInerney, but who's a Chris Pontius, comes in, gets a flying diving header in total Chris Pontius fashion, and then it makes it 3-2. Zlatan wonder strike. Then he was actually onside. As much as I thought that he was offside, it took me like 2 days to realize he was actually onside on that play. Zlatan picks up flick header to the back post for the winner. Two goals for Zlatan on his debut. He gets an MLS Player of the Week as voted on by the North American Soccer Writers. I know all of us watched that game, so I'm going to turn it over to Robert Kerr first. What were your initial thoughts on the madness that went down at StubHub Center on Saturday afternoon?
I guess lead off with this game, incredible. It was a great Saturday afternoon game. And even like the early pregame, there was, you know, they had, I don't know if they let people in the stands early, but there was noise there even for the pregame buildup, and fantastic, you know, once things kicked off. And totally got overshadowed by what happened in the second half. But the first half, Vela was gold. There was those goals. What amazing finishes. I mean, that was pure excitement there. That was fantastic. And because of what happened in the second half, there was a couple misses. There was one that comes to mind from the young Uruguayan. And probably if they get 4-0 up in the first half, who knows what would have happened in the second. But misses in the there was a couple missed opportunities. I mean, they played so well in the first half. They completely shut them down. But I can't even think of any positive things that they did in the second half, though. As bold, big and bold as they were in the first half, they totally, totally just fell away in the second half. It was remarkable. And then everyone kind of just like got a little uptight and squeaky when the superstar came on. And Ibrahimovic, well, there was some sort of joint between him and Vela. And Vela went from the absolute man to nobody getting any clip-ins other than Ibrahimovic. And I think what does Ibrahimovic say? He's just like little guy or something like that. He makes a gesture and
He kind of I know what you're talking about. I'm a terrible lip reader, so I'm not gonna try and like guess what he said. But
I mean, like, what a tale of two halves. And then just like Cristiano Ronaldo couldn't let Ibrahimovic have the spotlight in global, you know, super goals for long, just like Ibrahimovic did not allow Vela to get out of the match with the shine on him. It was pretty incredible. I mean, one of the most exciting matches I've seen in a good long time, and it was very cool that it happened, you know, with those two teams, with all the hype that was put on it, it, like, you know, met that and far exceeded what they could have hoped for.
McCarthy, what about you?
So coming to this game, before the game, I'd watched the Bayern Munich Borussia Dortmund game, and I just saw the onslaught that was Bayern Munich. You know, in my mind, I'm just sitting on my couch and I'm thinking, at least I got El Tráfico coming up like next. At least that's gonna be at least a good game. And then I went for a walk after that, and then I came back, and I missed some of the first half, so I did miss the Bella goals, to be honest.
Oh dear.
But I did, and so I came back, and it's 2-0. I'm like, whoa, all right. Yeah. So I went on Twitter, saw the two goals, and I mean, they were beautiful goals. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you got to think, all right, it's LAFC's day. Of course, like, being an inaugural, like a fresh expansion team, you're going to want to take it to your new rivals. So then you go in the half, 2-0, and then I gotta applaud Marcos Arana for that beautiful setup for the Daniel Sturridge own goal. I mean, he did everything right. Like, he held up the center back on the run, checked him a little bit, and then, you know, made that run, and then the cross, you know, even though it wasn't pretty, you know, it still found its way in the back of the net, and then that's when you truly start to think, okay, it's not the Galaxy's day. Then Lecek gets what at the time I thought was a meaningless goal.
Yeah.
And then you get the chants from the crowd saying, "We want Zlatan." Mm-hmm. And when you're hearing those chants and you know Zlatan's ego or perceived ego, you know, maybe it's all an act, you just know he's going to do something special with his history of debuts. And he did not disappoint whatsoever. And, you know, all that creativity from Zlatan, all that, you know, it just this aura just surrounded the game as soon as he got in. It was just like magic. I've never seen a game change so fast because of one single player. You know, I've watched a lot of soccer over the last 6 or 7 years I've been following it. I've never watched a game change so fast because one player comes on, or just, it may be Mario Götze in the 2014 World Cup, but I digress. I think LA Galaxy, you know, benefits greatly from just having that fear and strike into the hearts of the defense. And, you know, and you saw with LAFC, and they have a very solid defense. So LA Galaxy now has a two-headed monster up front. They have Ola Kamara and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, where if you were to say a couple years ago, you know, Zlatan's coming to MLS, somebody's like, okay, that's just a dream. You know, it's never going to happen. It's happening now, and it's going to happen for the rest of this year, and it's going to happen all of next year. So, you know, as MLS fans, we should be grateful that we're getting to watch Zlatan Ibrahimovic for the next 2 years of our lives. We should just sit back and enjoy his absolute dominance.
I'm with you on that. I'm going to favorite and retweet everything you guys said. Haha. Copy Matt.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to look at it with, just for through the lens of the impact in this game and Zlatan and how this game has changed the perception of I won't say changed the perception of MLS outside of it, but necessarily changed the perception of MLS within MLS. Because a lot of people took notice of this game. I mean, I'm at Sporting Kansas City's practice at least once or twice a week. They were, you know, Tuesday we asked questions about it, and then yesterday or today we asked questions about it, and, you know, immediately Matt Beasler says, you know, this is an having him in the league is huge. Peter Vermees, you know, completely complimentary of the type of player he is, the persona and everything that he brings to the league, and then was admiring both the goals that he scored. You know, and I look back, and I don't know if there will ever be a player in the league that everyone in the league collectively sits there and says, wow, we have a gift of having this guy play in the league. And I think that's how I felt when he hit that goal. Like, that was like up there. That's like the Zlatan bicycle kick from somewhere. Like, that goal is going to be on Zlatan's career highlight reel for the rest of his life. Like, that's probably one of his five best goals I think he's ever scored. And he's scored some absolutely ridiculous goals. So, like, to look and sit there and to say, wow, not only did we get that moment in the game, but we get that player for a long time, for at least a couple years here. And there's a chance to have that player that we see week in, week out, both with the personality, both on and off the field. We are quite lucky, MLS fans. And I know LA Galaxy create a lot of negative feelings towards most MLS fans. But this is probably the one signing that I think a lot of people come together and be like, wow, this is freaking awesome. He's really good. And this is going to be really entertaining.
If I could add, I mean, to your point about the Galaxy, I mean, what a turning of the tables, because, I mean, after having such an abysmal year last year with, I think, bright spot of Alisson Drini, but imagine he's a top player, you know, when he comes back from health, as well as Ibrahimovic. Like, imagine those two guys in that team that was considered, you know, lost and forgotten off the bottom of the table last year. Not only did they change in that game, but with the health of their top players, they could become a dangerous team again.
And even think with the most overrated player in MLS, Giovanni Dos Santos, you know, player speaking, yeah, and Jonathan Dos Santos, and, you know, like you just said, Roman Alessandrini. Those are three, you know, world icon players. And, you know, they're iconic for a reason. You know, they've shown overseas they can be good. And now Giovanni Dos Santos, he hasn't really shown that in MLS. You know, why? We don't really know. You know, maybe he's getting a little lazy, but, you know, that's a whole another conversation. But on that starting attack, you can have Zlatan, Ola Kamara, Roman Alessandrini, Jonathan Dos Santos, Giovanni Dos Santos, Emmanuel Boateng, and João Pedro, and even Rolf Felcher. He can be sometimes of an attacking defender. You know, what LA Galaxy is doing is phenomenal, but the chips just have to fall in just the right time for them to really start clicking.
One thing I did hear on the Cooligans that I thought was funny, they were joking about the whole TAM rule was invented just to get Zlatan in the league anyway.
Well, it's funny because the original TAM was invented for the Galaxy to keep Omar Gonzalez, and then they didn't 2 years later. So, I mean, this is kind of what TAM is, you know, all of a sudden blossomed into. Now, there's no way in heck Zlatan is only making $3 million and sitting there smiling. There's got
to
be plenty
of money. There had to be some sort of a huge commercial deal on the side or something, right?
Oh, there definitely is. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us have their thoughts on how that worked out. But anyways, that's going to do it for our talk on El Tráfico. An amazing spectacle. Zlatan was amazing. We will be back here in a second where Robert Kerr and I will be discussing Toronto FC, the CONCACAF Champions League, New York Red Bulls. We'll be discussing the first legs and what to look forward to in the second legs. And then we will, of course, have our roundtable discussion where Matt McCarthy will join us back. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening to our Zlatan Radio. Just kidding. We're not really Zlatan Radio. But, of course, Last Word Soccer Club Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, listeners, to the Last Word on Soccer podcast, or Last Word Soccer Club Radio. I don't know. I'm not used to hosting, so I don't know. Whatever. I don't know how to call it. I know last segment we called it the Zlatan Radio. So outside of the El Tráfico, we had some fantastic CCL games midweek. First up, on Tuesday evening, Toronto FC came from down 1-0, I believe, to beat Club America 3-1. There was the crazy tunnel fiasco. There was a whole lot going on. Robert Kerr, I mean, of course, is with us, as I said in the last segment. Robert's joining me for this one. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, the whole spectacle that it was, not only with the actual soccer, but the madness of the tunnel melee and apparently changing underwear of some sort, according to the America manager. What did you think of this wackiness?
I thought I had to say coming into this, some of my favorite games of recent memory have been these Toronto versus the Mexican teams. They've been really good. I really, especially this game, still, because we saw the best out of all the players on Toronto. That, you know, I think we've been seeing, you know, Sebastian Giovinco pushed to his most, and Jozy Altidore has scored goals in both rounds that have been goals that you want to see him score. You wish he would have scored, you know, in other spells in his career. But, I mean, just pushed to the most. And then so many antics from Club America, so many, you know, CONCACAF dark arts. I don't think I'd seen people mess with a penalty kick taker more than that when in between the foul that drew the penalty on Giovinco, I was almost thought that they should have Jozy take the penalty, because, I mean, the goalie was messing with him, and then the guy who took him down and got the yellow card was, like, talking to him, and people were, like, encroaching and, like, stepping up behind him before he took the shot. Like, the referee kind of didn't really have a handle on a lot of the shenanigans during that game. But I think also next week is a fascinating going into Azteca up 3-1, and Toronto was as much home field advantage for a Canadian team as for the return leg of, like, how home advantage for, you know, a huge Mexican club can be. So, I mean, next week is going to be fascinating. But Giovinco scores a penalty in the 9th minute. Jozy Altidore with what was really amazing one, to go back ahead, because the Club America, we didn't even talk about that. So in the 21st minute, Andres, I hope I can pronounce this right, I'm not even going to do it. The Club America striker, who was the bright spot in the America team, really. There was a lot of no-shows from those guys. But he, I think, on the play for the Club America goal in this game, I think Michael Bradley gets turned around 3 different times, and between his 3 times and 2 other players, Andres, he does 5 cuts through the Toronto defense and just, you know, roofs a rocket shot. And then for Jozy to come back and to go back ahead. So it was a seesaw battle. And then for the left back to be the guy to tap in the 3rd one was just fantastic. I mean, like I said, these Toronto games against the Mexican teams in the CONCACAF Champions League have been just enthralling, really. I hope the return leg, and it promises to be something else next week.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the second leg. Oh, sorry, I had a big yawn. We will edit that. But no, the second leg was a whole lot, or the first leg was a whole lot of fun in this one. I was, I watched a decent amount of the Toronto game. I was impressed with the way that they played. They put, you know, they were the better team. There was a lot of shenanigans, a lot of crap going on, that they did a really good job of just pushing through, and kind of embracing it and having fun with it as well. And it was a good performance. This is what when we sit there and we say we think Toronto has the best chance to win in the CONCACAF Champions League. This is why, is because they this team like Club America comes in, they wreck shop the first couple rounds, destroy Tower FC, you know, all of that stuff, and then they come in and they go to Toronto and they get smacked. It's the first time they've been smacked at all in this competition. So, you know, this is a good, it is a very good showing from Toronto to continue to do this at home. If they can get Chris Mavinga healthy and Chris Mavinga is ready for the second leg in this one, I thoroughly think Toronto can get the result in Azteca. Some crazier things have happened. I know Club America have a history of coming back in the second legs out after, you know, having some issues of their own. But this Toronto FC team is a lot different than MLS teams in the years past. There's so much talent. There's so much quality. You know, I do think that they have the week off. They don't have a midweek game. I think there's enough in them to go down and get a result at the Azteca. As difficult as it is, I really do think that this Toronto team could get the job done. The other game in the CONCACAF Champions League was, of course, the New York Red Bulls versus Chivas, which happened last night down at the Estadio Akron. New York Red Bulls dropped that 1-0 thanks to an Isaac Brizuela goal for Club Chivas. New York Red Bulls will return home to play Chivas this weekend. Do you have any thoughts on this one, or did you have some second thoughts on the Toronto one first?
Oh, I think I got to go back to Toronto before we move on. I think we need to call the tunnel at BMO in Toronto. I think we got to call it like the red light shakedown street or something. All these like halftime tunnel shenanigans are getting it. I mean, it's a thing now. You know, come to town, you get your run the jewels style on you coming in there. It's pretty wild. Has there been any decent reporting, or is it all like the cameraman didn't really get too brave on the broadcast? He really didn't see anything. Yeah. I don't know if any reports have come out since then, but that was wild.
From what I believe, what came out of it was something that the officials, the match officials, that they so the Club America players were in the manager, and that like said something about like he thought like his players got assaulted by the police. But it sounded like, for the most part, they were going, that the Club America players were going after Toronto FC players in that tunnel, and the police got involved in an attempt like to break it up. The Costa Rican officials and the match officials came out and like backed that statement up. So that's a good thing there. Man, I've got the yawns for some reason. I believe that like. So I don't think any wrongdoing was done on the behalf of the police. I don't believe that there is a whole lot of wrongdoing done on the behalf of Toronto FC either. It seemed, you know, from the get-go, you know, Tigres had a little bit of back and forth with Toronto in that first leg as well, in some very chippy back and forth stuff. Same thing here with Club America, trying to get that type of mental advantage in there. I think that's a lot of what this was. And Toronto FC got the job done. I think these Liga MX teams are starting to get frustrated at how these MLS teams are coming in and taking care of business against them. Against what normally would be for these Club America teams would just be to come in, do their business, and move on, and they'd be fine. But these MLS teams this time around are a lot tougher for them. So I think that's kind of causing a little bit of frustration for them, as it's not going how they're used to it going. And so they kind of lash out to try and get... try and muck things up. So interesting overall on how that happened, but I hope we don't see more of it down at the Azteca, just because that kind of crap just kind of muddies up the game a bit. But we will move on, of course. So you're the New York Red Bulls game, your thoughts on that one?
It was tight. I think, I mean, You would have loved, I mean, it would have been ideal, like perfect 100% scenario for the Red Bulls to go down there and get an away goal. But they just seemed like they didn't quite have the magic. They weren't never in full tempo. I think Guadalajara seemed to always get the foot in. They scored a nice goal themselves. I think New York may be a little bit lucky and with just conceding the one goal. And I think, yeah, for not performing that well, being in a hostile, intense environment, I think that they could be happy with, you know, like kind of some of a damage control approach, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Chivas is actually going to be kicking themselves for only winning this game 1-0 because this was a terrible performance from New York Red Bulls. I believe they're going to put in a much better performance at home. We've seen better performances from New York Red Bulls. They did play the midweek game against Orlando, and they lost in what was a wild game there. They go down to play at Chivas, which is at altitude and a difficult place to play, a rocking crowd. It's a massive stadium. It's difficult to do, and you know, they didn't play well at all, and they come out of there only down 1-0 with a chance to take care of business at home. And I think that's a real positive for the New York Red Bulls, because I believe, you know, that they're going to come out and put up much, hopefully, a much better performance in the second leg at home. Do you think that they'll be able to make it through and get that second leg down at home, or do you think this that it may be too tough for them?
Well, I actually, now that letting it sink in a little bit more, I think that this could very well mirror what the Seattle versus Chivas game was like, because Seattle dominated at home for the most part, but rued the day that they only put one away in all the chances they had. Maybe the same goes, like, in first leg, Chivas could have been up big, you know, and put it to bed, and then now we go back to New York, and I think they have a major lifeline. I think that they'll be okay. I think the Red Bulls might do all right, and I don't think it's beyond them at all.
I'm going to agree with you, because I really do believe the New York Red Bulls have the quality to get it done here. This to me looked like the more winnable matchup out of the two. I thought the Toronto series would be a lot tighter than a 3-1 win for Toronto right away. Like you said, this kind of had that feeling of that Seattle Chivas first leg up there, where Seattle should have won the game by more. Chivas played terrible, and then, you know, things are going to potentially compound for Chivas as they have to go play New York next week. So this is a pretty good option. I think a pretty good chance for New York Red Bulls to get the job done.
Yeah, Chivas' stadium was absolutely rocking. It looked awesome. I don't know what the capacity there, but it looked like quite a spectacle there. And so, I mean, if they can only put one in there, I mean, they're definitely, you know, obviously behind after the game, but long way from being out of it.
Yeah, the Estadio Akron, or Estadio Chivas, same thing, basically, seats 49,850, I believe, is the capacity for that stadium. So it's just over 50,000. It's a pretty sweet stadium.
It looked like it on TV, for sure. Yeah, also, I thought that, I mean, Tigres is, again, when they played Toronto at Tigres, was an unbelievable atmosphere, and this looked just like it.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm excited. I'm also really excited too for this the game at the Azteca. It's gonna be another awesome, rocking atmosphere. And if Toronto FC get the job done there, there's no reason why they cannot go on and win this tournament. Be one of the first MLS teams to win it in a very long time. So, you know, a chance for them also to get to the Club World Cup, it would be amazing. So, that's going to do it for our thoughts on CCL. Second legs come up this week. So, after Saturday's matches, we've got on the 10th, April 10th, both legs will take place on Tuesday night. 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff as New York Red Bulls host Club Guadalajara, and then it is a 10 p.m. kickoff immediately following that match for Club America hosting Toronto FC, both of those in the second legs. That's going to do it for us in this segment. We will be back in the roundtable segment. Matt McCarthy will join us back, and we will discuss a whole lot of fun stuff, such as Hatem Ben Arfa to MLS, and we will give our weekend pick'ems for the nationally televised matches. So stay tuned. This is Daniel Sperry for Last Word Soccer Club Radio. B teams in the NPSL in this upcoming season, they will be actually participating in the U.S. Open Cup under that standpoint. So because of that, they have all made themselves and jumped into the U.S. Open Cup. I believe they have gotten official teams as well, but they're I'm trying to pull up that initial press release somewhere, but the NASL has changed course after not allowing those, not the NASL, the U.S. Soccer Federation has changed course after allowing those three remaining NASL teams in their NPSL form to join U.S. Open Cup this year. Interesting move and concession by U.S. Soccer. I believe NASL kind of touted it as a victory for them going forward, and one of many more to come in the courts, as something said, which is very Rocco Camizio thing to say. I believe this is probably the only U.S. Soccer Federation concession that they're going to get. And I think it was a fair one. I thought it was kind of weird. If they've qualified and they are in playing in the NPSL this year, their affiliates should be allowed to jump in and play, and these teams should be allowed to play in. Why they were left out, I don't know. But the matter fact of the matter is now is that they are in. We don't really have to worry about that, political stuff going on between the two leagues, the league and the federation. But speaking of the U.S. Open Cup and the early rounds, Robert Kerr has some fascinating stuff set up from the U.S. Open Cup early round matchups, specifically local to Detroit. What you got for us, Robert?
Well, the two most successful teams in my Metro Detroit region got picked to face off in the U.S. Open Cup first round. The Michigan Bucks of the PDL, the most successful PDL squad, heads down to Hamtramck within Detroit to play Detroit City FC on May 9th, which will be a more exciting than the average Wednesday, I think. And it's the second time meeting up, and Detroit City beat the Bucks in penalty kicks in 2016. The Bucks, I mean, they have some pretty incredible talent that comes through there. PDL champs 8 times. I believe 9 players got drafted that played for the Bucks in MLS drafted in January. I think their total of draftees is like in the 80s or 90s now. So they're pretty impressive. And in Detroit City FC, I mean, the cult club, bringing in 6,000-7,000 fans for NPSL games, fantastic in their own right. They're going to have a big 2018 outside of this matchup with they've got St. Pauli to visit, as well as a Mexican top division, Necaxa, but and as well other announcements. So the Bucks going to see Detroit, it's going to be a great night. And then also in local schedules, I saw a report that Liverpool and Manchester United are going to play at Michigan's Big House in Ann Arbor in July. So some big match announcements in the region for me.
I would totally pay money to go up. Well, Michigan in July doesn't sound the greatest, but I totally would pay money to go up.
Yeah, my friend that went to the Real Madrid Manchester United the first time that they had a big game there, he almost passed out because there's no cover on that stadium. No. 110,000 people, and yeah, it's pretty hot and humid here.
Yeah, especially on turf, doesn't sound fun. Although I'm assuming that they'll bring in,
I think it's grass,
real grass. Is Michigan field? Is it? No,
I believe it is grass.
I believe it is, and I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but there's about half a mile of concrete between you and the grass anyway.
That's true. No, but I was thinking that they're, what it is that they're, I think, is it Notre Dame the one that went turf now? Or are they still grass? I don't remember. I thought one of the big ones went turf, but Anyways,
it'll be a spectacle to say the least.
It will be quite a spectacle, and I would totally head up to Michigan just for that one. All right, so we're going to move on to our weekly pick-ems. We're going to cover, of course, the big matches this weekend. Sadly, there's only three, and of course, they're all on national television. we were listing off some of the matchups beforehand, and while Matt and I both have skin in the game for Philadelphia and San Jose, that's not a game that anybody cares about outside of the two of us. So we are going to take a look at some of these other ones. First up, though, 4 p.m. kickoff, or, well, 5 p.m. Eastern, sorry. 2 p.m. Eastern time, Atlanta FC will play, or 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. There we go, got times right. Atlanta United FC will play host to LAFC in this one. Who do you got, and who's scoring here, Robert?
Oh, this is a fun one. The two new hot teams. LA, how will they rebound from their first ever loss and a loss on the gargantuan scale? We'll see how Bob Bradley's coaching chops get challenged here this week. Going into Atlanta, people haven't had a game there in a few weeks. The crowd's going to be pretty juicy. I think that Atlanta comes out of this 2-1 up, and I think Joseph Martinez is hungry for goals and gets both.
Matt McCarthy, how about you?
I don't think anyone wins this game. I'm going to call it a 1-1 draw. I'm going to give Miguel Almirón the goal, and I'm going to go Diego Rossi gets another one. I think that Bob Bradley is a good enough coach to rally the troops for the next week's game. You know, with Atlanta coming up, as we're talking about. I think that, Atlanta is a fortress, but I think, like I said, Bob Bradley is a good enough coach just to rally the troops one more time, or again, I should say, but I don't think there's going to be any winner in the game. I'm calling it a 1-1.
I'm going to agree with you on the fact that there's no winner, but I'm going to go with a 2-2 scoreline. LAFC's back line looks porous against an actually good attack. They really struggled in that second half. And then you have an Atlanta United team that is without LGP as he was sent off in the game against Minnesota. So I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw in here. I think it's going to be I'll go with Villalba and Martinez getting the goals for Atlanta. And then a Diego Rossi and Carlos Villa will grab the goals for LAFC. But I think LAFC have shown good enough chops on the road outside of the wacky game against the Galaxy and probably against any other team and any other non-Zlatan. They hold on to that lead somehow. It could go 3-1, 3-2, but I doubt they flip the full result the other way against any other team. So I think this is a good team. Atlanta's kind of a little weak at the moment because of the LGP suspension, and their backline has already looked shaky at times when being put under pressure against good attacks. So I think Bob Bradley's going to have the right remedy here to at least get a draw for LAFC, but that's about all I see for them in this match. Moving on, the next one, Sunday afternoon, Orlando will play host to Portland Timbers. This is a 4 p.m. Eastern kick, I believe, right? 4 p.m.? No, 4 p.m. Yeah, 4 p.m. Eastern kick. I'm going to make sure I don't butcher this. Yes.
4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. 1 p.m. Pacific?
Yes, 4 p.m. Let's let Matt host the show for now. No, I'm just kidding. So now we got it. Orlando hosting Portland. McCarthy, who do you got?
Okay, so I'm going upset alert here. I got Portland. Just for no other reason besides just looking at the matchup and just deciding that I like Portland in this game. No other analysis is needed for it. I'm saying a 3-1. I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay. Kerr? Robert Kerr?
Oh, goodness. Do we know if Diego Char is going to play?
I do not.
Well, I don't think he has played yet, and he seems to be very key for them. Orlando seems like they'll score goals, but are somewhat unpredictable. I think I'm going to go with a 1-1.
1-1. I'm going 3-0.
Dan Dwyer actually does a roundhouse of the goalie into the net this week and then scores.
Okay, that's a fun one. I totally see that happening, too, with Dom. I'm going to go 3-0 Orlando on this. Portland are terrible. They had a They had a lead on the road against Chicago and blew it. So I'm not impressed with them. They're a, kind of a mess. And so I'm going to take 3-0 Orlando on this. They're the home team. They look really good against New York. And New York is way better than Portland. So next one, the final match, 9 p.m. Eastern time kick. This is 6 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Pacific, which is local to the kickoff time. We've got LA Galaxy hosting Sporting Kansas City. A matchup at the top of the table in the Western Conference. This is probably one of the better matchups on the weekend. Sporting Kansas City, first place. LA Galaxy, third place. Robert Kerr, who do you got in this one?
Oh, boy. I really don't know what to think about this one because the Galaxy are going to be a question the whole time. How much is Latan going to play? Will he play? What role will he play if he's a starter? And I'm actually really curious to know what you think about your SKC team going in there. But I'm going to say Zaten plays. He scores. I'm not leaving any goose eggs on these predictions. Another 2-1 LA Galaxy win.
Matt McCarthy, how about you?
I'm going to agree with Dan. I mean, Robert, I keep saying the wrong names. Anyway, I'm going to agree with Rob. 2-1 win. I think also Zlatan gets one goal. And I also think that a defender for LA Galaxy will score a goal, a la Ashton Morgan. I think one of them will bag one. And I don't know if SKC, even how good they are, I don't know if they'll be up for it just yet against LA Galaxy. And, you know, this the revitalization of that attack. So 2-1.
I'm actually going to flip the script on this one because I like Sporting Kansas City in this one. I think LA Galaxy's backline is still absolute trash. Even though that they've got Roman Alessandrini back this weekend, it doesn't sound like they have both of the Dos Santos brothers quite fit. All of them are still question marks to start. Sporting Kansas City, they last week when I know they could potentially be without Felipe Gutierrez, who leads the league in goals at the moment. For the week, it seemed he picked up an injury in the DC United game. Sounds like he's questionable slash day to day. Peter Vermes felt like he wasn't healthy to. Like, he wasn't quite healthy enough to say yes yet, and he tends to be very cautious with things like this that he doesn't really need to push, especially at the beginning of the season. So he may not play, but Johan Kraaze, the guy that they signed as a DP originally for that number 10 spot, looked really, really good in replacing him last week, and I think he'll do just fine centrally. The Sporting Kansas City attack has been really good lately. I know Zlatan's the difficult one on this, but I'm going to go with a Sporting Kansas City 2-1 win. I do think Zlatan gets a goal, but the Sporting Kansas City have not lost in the last 3 years to the LA Galaxy. They have 3 wins, 3 draws, and they got a win in LA, or I believe it's not 3-0-3. That might be wrong, but I'll check it. But they got a win in LA at home last year. I believe this team can do it. I still don't believe the LA Galaxy defense. Sporting Kansas City showed good signs so far. So I will take them 2-1 in this. That's going to do it for our show this week. Of course, we'd like to send out a special thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves. Goodness. Roughneck Scarves. Goodness. We're going to lose our sponsorship now for this crap. Goodness. The official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. You can get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. That is going to do it for us. I am Daniel Sperry. I will turn it over to Robert Kerr real quick. Robert, where can they find you on the Twitter sphere? And do you have any last words for us?
I'm at LWOSR2Kerr2. And final words, a big week for me. Up to my head in soccer, and especially local soccer, UPSL side, Oakland County FC, they moved into their new home, into my downtown, or right in my backyard was what I was trying to say. And so I have a truly local team, so I've volunteered my time. I'm the new writer and content creator for their website and for the club. So I'm going to be doing a lot of efforts right here in my backyard for local soccer. So I'm excited about that. And enjoy the soccer. There's lots going on right now. I'm pumped to be with the purple in my hometown.
Matt McCarthy, where can people find you and what are your last words?
People can find me on Twitter at MattMcCarthyLWO. Also, friend me on Facebook, as always. And my last words for today, I'm going to talk about a little bit of... I mean, what I was going to talk about was the Nova game, but we kind of already covered that. But I would say that after being at a baseball game today in 49-degree weather, I can honestly say with the amount of people in attendance, I could truly feel soccer taking over baseball in popularity in terms of attendance. And there will come a day where soccer completely takes over NHL and the MLB. I can't really say the NBA or NFL because that's just too big, I think, for this country.
All right, that is going to do it for them. I am, of course, Daniel Sperry. You can find me at SperryDaniel94. You can find all of our written work at LastWordSC and LastWordOnSoccer.com. My last words here, with the Zlatan introduction to the league, there is a massive shift in the perception of MLS, I think, locally. And within MLS that we all need to pay attention to. The MLS is going to start getting a lot more recognition from outside, from Zlatan coming over here and succeeding and having fun, and if he has positive reactions, it's going to bring a lot of positive attention to our league. And as more of the teams that play him will probably, of course, Zlatan's going to draw a lot from outside of the American, you know, of the U.S. border. He's going to draw a lot of the attention, but the teams that play him are going to get a whole lot of exposure, just like New York City, David Villa has done for New York City FC and others. I know talking to Johnny Russell, he loved, big soccer head, loved staying up late and watching soccer on Sky Sports, loved watching MLS, he loved watching New York City FC and others, and paid very close attention to this league, which is one reason why he really wanted to come here. So when we asked him what he felt about the league, he already knew what Sporting Kansas City's style of play were because he had watched him before. And this is a guy that was about ready to make the leap to the Premier League as Derby County are about ready to get promoted. So, guys, with while Zlatan, if it brings the LA Galaxy success on the field and in terms of trophies, it's going to frustrate people, but in the long run, it is going to bring more quality players over that sit there and they see what's going on. They see that there's a lot of positive soccer in this league. They're not just trying to take my word for it. It is going to now be watch, take a look, see. Because the LA Galaxy aren't going to win every game. This is not the MLS of old where you can just trot out Landon Donovan, Robbie Keane, and washed up David Beckham and go and win MLS Cups every other year. That is not how this league is anymore. It is much more competitive. It is much more talented across the board than it was back then. And because of that, because of the level that it is now, I believe that now MLS through Zlatan will get a greater appreciation from people around the world and start paying attention to the moves that trickle into the league after, in the next come and the upcoming transfer windows. See who else wants to come, see what else happens, see all of these other players that continue to come to the league because now these big names have made it successful. That is my last words. Thanks again for listening. And of course, this is the Last Word Soccer Club Radio podcast. We'll be back next week with hopefully a full cast. But have a great night and go soccer.